Ezekiel saw those dry, withering bones in a valley, and the bones were as far away from life as anything can get. They were lifeless, they were dried up, turning to dust. And God brought them back, bone by bone, muscle by muscle, covering them in rejuvenated skin. God breathed life into them, and they were alive. And then God said, "This is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to bring them back to life." The short version of this morning's reading. Some people question, was this a vision? Yes, it was a vision. It was a dream. Did God bring the Israelites back to life in a massive horror movie spectacle? No. But does this morning's Bible reading communicate that there are no limits to when, where, or how God brings new life? Yes. Because here's a huge point that gets brought out, not just in this reading, but in the message of the Bible. God doesn't do left behind. God does bring you back. I want to take you through an extended journey of Ezekiel's story. Steve Case, who has been here before, remember when Steve Case came and gave a presentation to us? He's a friend. He's a brilliant author. He's a speaker. He's a minister. And I'm going to tell the Ezekiel story as included in his book, God Up Close. It's very earthy, visual, sensual. And for all the vivid descriptions, it's a really accurate depiction of the Ezekiel story. If you want, you can get the book. He had them here when he was here before, but stevecasespeaks.net is a website you can go to and click through and get stuff. And he just sort of re-released, no, not re-released, Steve has a book called God Is Here. It's a current-day interpretation, new visioning of the Brother Lawrence book, Practicing the Presence of God. And if you want to get a copy of that one, they're outside in the narthex. So if you hear this today and you're like, oh, I like the way Steve writes, or I like his stuff, Practicing the Presence of God, or God Is Here, it's a great book to have. Ezekiel was sitting at the head of the table. The elders of the tribe of Judah sat around him, and they were all staring at him, waiting. He had grown to loathe these meetings. He's never a big fan of meetings anyway. Committees rarely make things better and usually make things worse. But this was hellish. The elders all sat around and waited for him to say something funny. The general consensus was that Ezekiel had gone off his nut. Months ago, he'd been in a meeting just like this one when suddenly a giant hand, yes, a giant hand came into the room, grabbed him by the hair, and yanked him away. Everyone else in the room saw the giant hand. Everyone else in the room saw him get yanked through the roof. But did the town folks say that they were nuts? No, just old off-his-nut Ezekiel. The only difference, Ezekiel reminded himself, was that the others had the good sense to keep their mouths shut. The hand of God had come into the room, lifted Ezekiel by his hair, and shown him horrific visions. It was bad enough that God had asked him to walk around naked for years. Had he done that? Yes, he had done that. God also asked him to lie on one side for more than a year and then bake wretched muffins and eat them in front of everyone. Had he done that? Yes, he had. God described his people as two slutty sisters who did horrible, disgusting things. Had Ezekiel listened? Yes, he had. Then God took Ezekiel's wife. God warned, "I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes." He told Ezekiel not to mourn, not to wear the clothes that mourners wear or eat the food that mourners eat. God said that would somehow get through to the people who'd missed every other message Ezekiel had delivered from God. And so far, the result was nothing. The people were as dumb as rocks. Ezekiel delivered his messages during the day. At night, while he lay alone and cold in his bed, he cried for all that he'd lost. He was just entertainment for the people. Let's go to the council meeting and see what Ezekiel the nutball has to say today. Ezekiel sat at the head of the table. He chaired the meeting. He followed all the rules. And still they all looked at him as though they were waiting for the next crazy thing he might do. "Are you even listening to me?" Ezekiel shouted. Suddenly their faces changed. Ezekiel knew immediately what they were looking at behind him. The hand was back. It grabbed him by the hair. The hair that had finally grown back after God told him to shave it all off. Once again, Ezekiel was jerked out of his own home, carried high above the city, and dropped into an open field. And Ezekiel lay on the ground and coughed at the dust that wafted up from where he'd landed. He waved a hand in front of his face, and as the dust cleared, he found himself nose to nose with a human skull. Well, nose to nose hole, as it were. "Ah!" Ezekiel screamed. He scooted away from the skull and heard a crunching sound. Looking to his left, he saw that his hand rested on an armored breastplate surrounded by a skeleton rib cage. A sword held the breastplate and what was left of the ribs in place, stuck fast in the ground. Ezekiel would later pride himself on not screaming a second time. But then jumping to his feet, Ezekiel felt bones break under his sandals. He leapt about, trying not to land on anything that was once human. That proved to be a challenge. When he finally found solid footing, he gingerly made his way across the valley. He looked around and saw no trees, no distant mountains, and no cities anywhere. Instead, he was tiptoeing where a great slaughter had taken place. Thousands upon thousands of bones lay around him. Some of the skulls still wore helmets. Some of the hands still clutched the swords that pinned their bodies to the ground as though trying to release themselves. Ezekiel tried not to be sick, unsuccessfully. He looked up at the darkening sky and said, "Well?" The voice of God came to him from all across the valley and right next to his ear. It made the ground beneath his feet vibrate, while at the same time it sounded like it was just above him, the way his father's voice used to sound. The voice said, "Ezekiel, are these bones alive?" Ezekiel, assuming it was a trick question, replied, "Like I'd know." God's voice became like thunder. "Preach to them." "Preach to them?" Ezekiel repeated. This time the voice came right beside him. It was calm and quiet and utterly human. "Tell them that I am God. I will put them back together, and I will attach muscles to them. I will fill their veins with blood, and I will stretch fresh skin around them. They will stand up and know me." Ezekiel looked around and hoped no one was watching him. Then he lifted his arms and said, "Hear me, bones!" The bones didn't look like they were listening. Ezekiel said, "Listen, bones, God is going to breathe across this valley. God is going to put you together. He's going to knit muscles onto you and sew veins into you and stretch fresh skin around you. You will stand up and know God." The rattling sound that followed was almost sickening. It sounded like dry rain. Every shard of brittle bone that had broken away from the original moved across the ground and put itself back into place. broken bones came together. The bones that had snapped beneath Ezekiel's feet now rolled away from him and reattached themselves to their original hosts. Toe bones became connected to the foot bones. Foot bones connected to the ankle bones. And ankle bones connected to the leg bones. The skull that Ezekiel encountered when he was first dropped into the valley now stood on top of its skeleton. Its fleshless hands turned from gray to white and then reached up to straighten the helmet on his head. The skeleton was taller than Ezekiel and it cocked its head to one side as if studying him with empty eye sockets. One by one, the skeleton army stood. The sound of metal clanging against bone grew louder. Ezekiel spun around and saw the vast army of bones now on its feet. All of the skeletal soldiers turned toward him. They stared at him with sightless eyes. One skeleton pulled a sword from its chest and then scratched at the empty space with a bony finger, as if the wound somehow itched. The next sound was wet, as moist muscle and veins sewed themselves intricately through the bony framework of the soldiers all around them. Ezekiel could see blood coursing through the new veins. Lungs grew from nothing and attached themselves inside rib cages, stomachs and organs filled with blood and fluid, and the face that was staring into Ezekiel suddenly grew two brown eyes that made the skull look more dead somehow. As a boy, Ezekiel had once watched with his friend Josiah as Josiah's dad, a tanner, stretched an animal skin onto a wooden rack and began to clean it. It was a sound Ezekiel had never forgotten. And now he'd heard it again, times a million. Skin stretched over muscles, bones, and veins. It covered the faces and arms of the soldiers and turned them from a bleached white into something healthy and alive. Finally, the man standing right in front of Ezekiel was whole. But Ezekiel could see deep into the man's eyes. There was nothing there. No soul, no sign of an inner being. Ezekiel spun around again, and the vast army of the dead surrounded him, staring at him with empty eyes. Empty of breath. Empty of soul. The voice of God spoke to him again. This time it came like a whisper next to his ear. Preach to them again. Tell them this. The four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you, and you will be whole again. Ezekiel put his hand on the shoulder of the lifeless man in front of him. He said it quietly, knowing that if it were the word of God, every ear would hear it. He said, "The four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you, and you will be whole again." For the first time, the eyes of the man whose skull Ezekiel had nearly stepped on came into focus, as if they were connecting somehow. Besides an empty skull, a low hum echoed through the valley. Ezekiel looked around and realized the sound was coming from the men. Their voices were murmuring, calling, and eventually shouting. A massive chorus of pure noise rose into the air. Ezekiel covered his ears. The shout soon began to reverberate, taking on different tones. Some voices began to sing. Others laughed out loud. The rejuvenated shoulders embraced one another as if they hadn't seen each other in years. The voice of God spoke again. And Ezekiel realized he was the only one who could hear it above the din of laughter and song. Ezekiel, are these bones alive? Ezekiel looked at the sky, caught up in the moment of life around him. Yes, Lord. God said, these bones are like my precious children of Israel. They have dried up. They have no hope, no souls, no breath. I want you to go and preach to them. They will listen. Use my words and you will be heard. You will put life back into my people. I will give them a new place. I will put my life spirit in them. I will make them whole. Ezekiel stood looking at the sky. His joy faltered for just a moment. For that one moment, he was filled with questions. How will they know? How do I tell them? What about those who still won't listen? What if I mess up? What if, when, how? Then God's voice spoke to him clearly and answered all of his questions at once. Because I am God. God doesn't do left behind. God does bring you back life, breath.